You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, friends, this is Melissa from God's Favorites, a history podcast where we talk about people in history who were God's favorites with the stupidest luck you've ever heard of, or the people who just thought they were God's favorites. Henry VIII, I am looking right at you right now. You can also find me over on TikTok at Melissa Fair Lady, where I do a lot of history content. Y'all know I love me some queens, and that's why you're here. This is Queens Podcast with Katie and Nathan. Prepare yourself for queens, cocktails, and curse words. And if you don't like the latter, this may not be the podcast for you. But come on, who doesn't love a well-placed F-bomb? You've been warned, peasants! Kidding. Enjoy the show and come check me out over on God's Favorites, a history podcast.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queens Podcast, the show about women in history. Nathan.
How's it going, Katie?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I had a fun little weekend.
Good for you. Yeah, we just went out and saw some live music on Saturday in downtown Austin. It's been a while, so it was a lot of fun. But know what's even more fun? Talking to you about history.
Oh, I love when you butter me up like this.
It's yes. So
please keep inflating my ego, please.
Yes, we've been doing this series here where we've been letting our top Patreon supporters, our queen mothers, pick the topics for us. And so this is our last of that series, which has been really fun. So Nathan, who did listener Brooke choose for us today?
Dagmar of Denmark, or Maria Theodorovna.
Depending on which day
we're talking. Yeah. When. Yeah. Which day. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Nathan, before we get started, let's do some Patreon shout outs.
Woo-hoo.
Big shout out to Patreon supporter Madison.
Yes. Shout out to Courtney and Sarah.
Yes. Love it. And thank you so much to all of our Patreon supporters and all of our listeners. Thank you so much for letting us talk your ear off about some history. So, before we get started, though, Nathan, tell us about this cocktail.
It is called the White Russian. So, just your basic White Russian cocktail recipe. Everybody has heard, at least, of a White Russian. So, basically, it is just two shots of vodka, one shot of Kahlua, and then you top that with a little bit of cream. You can do half and half, but I gilded that lily today, baby. I did the heavy cream. Ooh, I felt bougie. I felt delicious. It's a little bit sweet. It's a little bit creamy. Delish.
This is definitely a nice little treat for Dagmar.
Yeah, because she's it's a little bit of a sexy drink, too, for our sexy girl.
Yes. So let's get into her. Nathan, let's bring Dagmar, the Danish princess who would go on to be the second to last Tsarina of Russia. Let's bring her into the world.
So Dagmar was born on November 26, 1847 in Copenhagen, Denmark. This makes her a Sagittarius sun with a Cancer moon. So Sagittarius, a little bit cray.
But energetic.
Yes, that is the politically correct thing to say, but also very funny, adventurous, optimistic. But her Cancer moon would mean she would be very emotional, protective, creative. It's actually a very good placement for your moon to be in Cancer, because Cancer is ruled by the moon. So she would have been an absolute joy to be around. So there's her astrology.
I get the vibe that she's a chill person. But like we were saying earlier, in history, she may more commonly be known as Maria Fyodorovna, because that's the name she took after she married into the Russian family. But we just got done with the Maria Theresa series, with all those Marias. And so how do you solve a problem like Maria? We call her Dagmar. is how we're gonna do that one. And plus, you know, we've just never talked about someone named Dagmar before, so it's a little bit, it's just refreshing.
Yes, it is. So in Danish, that would actually be pronounced Dalma, but everything that we found with English-speaking people, they pronounce it Dagmar. So yeah. We're gonna stick with that.
Yes.
But thank you so much to Patreon supporter Brooke for her suggestion on this one and the hot tip on actually how to say the name correctly.
How to pronounce it, yeah. At her time of birth, Dagmar wasn't really born into, I mean, she was born into privilege and into nobility, but her family was like minor nobility. Her parents were both from good families and they were connected, but they weren't thought to be in the line of succession for the Danish throne, like at all. And while they lived comfortably, their income was pretty limited. So it wasn't the bougiest upbringing we've ever seen.
Yeah, her parents were Christian and Luis, and they had a pretty happy marriage.
Nice.
Fun fact, Dad had initially tried to date Queen Victoria of Great Britain. yes, that Queen Victoria.
Ooh.
But Vicky must have been, like, super uninterested, but seems like everything worked out fine regardless.
Everybody ended up with who they needed to end up with. Dagmar was the fourth of six kids. All the kids grew up with their parents in the same household in Copenhagen. You know, we hear a lot on this show about kids in the nobility getting sent to live at boarding schools or with other families. And that just wasn't the case here. She actually stayed at home with her parents and knew her brothers and sisters really well. So isn't that nice?
Yes. She and her elder sister, Alexandra, were especially close. They were about 3 years apart, so pretty close in age, and they were inseparable. Almost like twins, basically. Really, really close.
Yeah. In fact, her family was so close, and she had a cute little nickname. Everybody called her Minnie, which aww. I thought was really sweet. All the siblings, both brothers and sisters, everybody was given a very practical education. So, yeah, like, she's learning to read, she's learning languages and stuff like that, but she's also learning how to make her bed and balance a checkbook, and she would have known how to, like, sew her own hems into her skirts and stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and in this household, Mama was the one calling the shots. Mm-hmm. She was warm and loving to her kids, so don't get me wrong, but if you stepped out of line, Mama's gonna put you in your place, baby, okay?
Mom, Dad might look the other way. Mama's calling you out on your shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that. It shows us that she had a strong female role model growing up.
Yeah.
Which we love to see. And for someone of the nobility, they had as close to a quote-unquote normal upbringing. Obviously not normal for us, because they still did live in a palace, and they did have, you know, help and whatnot, but closer to normal than some other people we've discussed on this show.
Yeah. But then, in 1852, their lives change forever. Mm-hmm. Their dad was named heir presumptive to the King of Denmark.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this is like a surprise to just about everyone. So, the current king, Frederick VII, didn't have any legitimate kids, and none of his immediate family had any sons. So, in a very long, complicated diplomatic process, Minnie's mom and dad were eventually viewed as the best option to be next in line for the throne.
Right. And at 5 years old, Dagmar goes from just the granddaughter of some random duke to a princess of Denmark. Now, nothing changed overnight for the family. They were given new titles, they were given a new house, but they weren't really given more money to sustain a higher status that you would need. And her parents weren't eager to throw the kids into the life of a royal courtier or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're expected to make public appearances from time to time now because they are the next royal family, but it wasn't like they didn't really lean into raising their kids any differently now that they have these titles.
One thing that Dagmar's dad is most famous for is being a man of real, real strong principles. Right. And he thought that the current king was T-Rash. And
garbage,
hot lady garbage. And King Frederick had kept mistresses openly and maybe even had a gay relationship. But his biggest crime in the eyes of Dagmar's family was that he married a commoner and accepted her illegitimate child as his own.
What? That for me, I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. You can't help who you love, but to Dagmar's family, that just meant garbage.
But gradually, as the king's health declined, they started getting more and more public attention. The people as a whole just started being more interested in them. Wait a second. Who's this next in line to the throne? Who is this family of randos?
Who are these fucking random people? Yeah. Can you... It was kind of weird because they were like, who... Wait, who are these people? Yeah. Dagmar and her siblings weren't thrown into the public eye immediately, like we said, but they did have to make appearances every now and then, and the public was so intrigued by this family. One, because who doesn't love a mystery? Who are these people? Let's get to know them. Two, it was like, oh my god, these kids are so well-behaved. What, like, perfect little prince and princesses they are. And three, this family is beautiful. We love to see a pretty, pretty princess, and Dagmar and her sister fit that bill.
Y'all, this is one good-looking family, but especially Minnie and her sister Alexandra. They are stone-cold, hottie-potty foxes. Whoa. Like, catches everybody's eye.
And the thing is, we actually have pictures, because a lot of our queens that we talk about, we just see portraits, and... who the fuck knows? We actually have pictures, pre-Photoshop pictures.
Yeah.
So we can see what they actually looked like. And yeah, they were gorgeous girls. So even before her dad became the heir presumptive, she was always going to have good options when it comes to the marriage market. But now that her dad is king, suitors are like knocking down the door.
Yeah, and thankfully, this is not one of those stories where she's engaged at, like, 5 years old to some 40-year-old creeper that she's never met.
God. Oh,
thank you, Jesus. Her parents don't really seem to be in a huge hurry to marry them off. And they also don't make them marry someone they don't want to, which is really nice.
So let's fast forward.
Zoop.
The year is 1863, and Dagmar is 16 years old. So the old king dies... Frederick the Seventh, and now her dad is Christian the Ninth of Denmark, and everybody's life is about to change big time now that her dad is actually king.
Yeah, first off, dad is king, so they have to move away from that quiet life and have to go into court, basically, in the middle of everything. And then her brother, who was 2 years older than her, was elected king of Greece, which...
What?
Yeah, his name was George. He was only 18 at the time, too. And Greece is pretty far away from Denmark.
Yeah. And that's two huge changes. Like, bam, bam. And her dad actually didn't want him to accept the job offer of being king. Because Greece was in turmoil. And he was like, well, that seems like a dangerous place to send you. So now she doesn't get to see her brother anymore. And she's probably worried for his safety. Ooh, I don't love that.
Yeah. And then probably the biggest shakeup of her life that she knew was her best friend, her oldest sister, her BFF, Alexandra, gets engaged and is getting ready to move to England.
Yep. Over in England, they have this Queen Victoria. Maybe you've heard of her. And her son is this dude named Edward, but everyone calls him Bertie. Bertie was in his 20s, and so mom was like, you're not married and making children. Let's rectify that. And so Victoria is looking around for all the suitable princesses in Europe and landed on Alexandra as the most suitable in Europe. Let's get her over here. Let's get her married.
probably didn't hurt that Bertie had seen those hottie patati pictures of hers, and the rumors are true. Alexandra is a stone cold hottie, and everyone that met her didn't just comment on that. They commented on how kind she was. So she, it seems like she was beautiful, down to earth. So that was that. It was settled. Alex is leaving Copenhagen and moving to London.
Yep. The king and queen didn't force Dagmar's sister into this marriage. But if she had heard, because she probably did hear the rumors, like, Bertie drinks too much and he has a dozen mistresses. So if she would have been like, I heard this rumor that he's an alcoholic and he has a mistress he's not going to give up, I don't want to marry him. Her parents weren't going to make her.
Yeah, but let's get real. They wanted her to accept this proposal.
Yes, it was advantageous for them, for sure.
A lot of people still looked at King Christian with a suspicious eye. Like, okay, but who is this guy? Yeah, who is this guy? So, having the Prince of Wales as a son-in-law, that'd give you some street cred.
It helps. It definitely was something to put on the resume, for sure. We don't know how Dagmar took the news that her sister would be moving to London. We have to imagine it was hard for her because, again, this is so many changes so quick, and her sister was her best friend. It'd be weird to suddenly not ever see them anymore.
Yeah, that's really sad.
It's a lot of change for a 16-year-old all at once.
Yeah, and the two of them, Alexandra and Dagmar, had been like BFFs. They were so close. They've been inseparable their entire lives. So this is a huge monumental thing for her. She's losing her best friend, essentially.
Totally. But in the meantime, there's still this wedding to plan. So her sister's wedding is going to be a huge fucking to-do. And there's not been a Princess of Wales in a couple of generations. And the last one was this woman, Caroline of Brunswick. Maybe we'll talk about her one day, but she had been super, super unpopular. So everyone's stoked that now this beautiful princess from Denmark is coming over and we're going to have a Princess of Wales again.
Get excited. Get pumped up, Nathan. Are you pumped up?
Woo woo. Yeah, we're excited. In March, the whole family loads up and heads to London. And when Alexandra's carriage hits the streets of London, there's this huge fanfare. And everyone's going nuts and is so happy to see him. And Dagmar's like looking around being like, oh my god, what is going on? Is all of this fanfare for my sister? Like, seriously?
I mean, they go nuts over royal weddings today. It was probably the same back then. People rushing to, like, see the bride, get the first look at the bride. And is she as pretty as everybody said? What is she going to be wearing? Da-da-da-da-da. They spent a few weeks in London before the wedding. And before the wedding, and then afterwards, they were going to head back to Denmark. However, while there, Queen Victoria wanted to get to know Dagmar better. Her second oldest son was this guy named Alfred, and he needed a wife too. And so Victoria wanted to see if Dagmar would be a good match for Alfred.
I wonder if Dagmar was actually interested in that or not. Like,
we don't know.
Yeah, we really don't know. We wish we knew more, but I bet she would have loved the aspect of being close to her sister. But I get the vibe that Dagmar wasn't interested, or at least the two of them didn't really click because it didn't go anywhere.
In the end, though, Victoria said that while Dagmar was probably more clever than her sister, that she just didn't think she would be a good fit for Alfred. And the way I'm reading that is I bet Dagmar probably spoke her opinions more than Alexandra did, is what I'm getting. She had that Sagittarius going on, is what I'm getting. Sagittariuses love to run their big sexy mouths, and so that's what I'm reading into it. But yeah, so after the wedding, they head back to Copenhagen.
It would have been quite an adjustment for her living without her sister, but the two did write each other like nonstop, and eventually life kind of settled back to normal-ish.
Yes. All right, so in a second, we are going to get into the marriage aspects for our Danish princess Dagmar. But first, let's take a quick break and top off our drinks.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask them all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? Well, we hear you, and we have been there too. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. Who are we? I'm Dr. Jess Steyer, a public health scientist and also co-host of the Unbiased Science podcast. Every day, I'll chat with one or both of your new pediatrician besties, Dr. Dina DiMaggio, a general pediatrician, and Dr. Anthony Porto, a pediatric gastroenterologist. We'll talk about all the things related to our kids' health, from dealing with a colicky infant to navigating puberty in the teenage years. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, now live on all podcast platforms.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk-takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
That family is, yeah, they are hotties.
Are you looking at the...
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I'm looking at photos of it. Her mom is gorgeous. Her dad is really cute. It's like, whoa. I can see why people are like, okay.
So, yeah, no, she's gorgeous. And then her sister was super pretty, too. She was like a fashion icon. Her sister sustained an injury giving birth that caused her to walk with a limp for the rest of her life. And so it became, like, stylish to walk with a limp. So people would go to their tailors and ask for shoes with uneven heels on them.
Oh, wow. They're all really pretty.
So we are back. We just took this break to just talk about how gorgeous. Do yourself a favor. We'll definitely post pictures of Dagmar and her sister on Instagram, but definitely go ahead and Google them because they are good-looking people.
Let's look at Dagmar's resume for potential royal bride. So she's the daughter of the king of Denmark, the sister to the king of Greece, sister-in-law to the prince of Wales, and on top of that, she speaks like three languages. Friendly, outgoing, doesn't have any scandals attached to her. Oh, and once again, she's a stone-cold fox.
So, eligible bachelorette is what we're getting at.
Yes.
And about a year or so before, her mother, Louise, Queen Louise of Denmark, had sent her portrait. She sent a portrait of Dagmar over to the Russian royal court and was like, pass this around in case there's like a Russian prince that needs a bride. And the Tsarevich of Russia was like, Oh, hello. Who is this?
Auga.
No. Auga.
Direct quote. So if you're new to Russian history, let's do a quick vocabulary lesson. So Tsar means the king and Tsarina is the queen. Tsarevich is the heir apparent and his wife would be called the Tsarevna.
So the more you know. It's very good, Nathan. Thank you for that little lesson.
You're
that
welcome.
That little vocabulary. So the Tsarevich is this guy named Nicholas, but his family calls him Nixa. And Nixa is about 3 years older than Dagmar. And he arranges a trip to Denmark to meet her in person, which is because they hadn't been writing letters or anything. He just decides, he's like, I gotta meet her in person. I gotta know if this is the real deal. And yeah. So this is if he wanted to, he would. Because Nixa could have been like, oh, maybe send her over here. In fact, that was probably more customary to send her over there to meet him. But he was like, no, I'm making the effort. I'm going to her. So if he wanted to, he would.
Love it.
Anyway.
Couldn't find very many details on how this first meeting went. But we believe that Nixa and Dagmar had to have hit it off in some way. But really, if we look at their personalities, it makes sense. And we'll post a picture on Instagram, but in their one picture together, they look so cute and so happy together.
They're so cute. Yes. Nixa was described as the perfect crown prince. I mean, he was well-mannered. He was noted to be, like, exceedingly kind. He didn't have any scandals, didn't have any, like, mistresses or anything. Yeah, they just make sense, their personalities.
Yeah, Nixa was also really, really close to his family.
Yeah.
His little brother was his best friend, so that's, like, Dagmar's sister's her best friend. So I bet that they love that they have that in common.
I think that family being really important to both of them was also another big draw. Nicholas wrote to his mom, "I cannot describe to you what came over me when I finally saw sweet Dagmar. She is so beautiful, direct, intelligent, experienced, and yet shy at the same time. She is even more beautiful in reality than in her pictures."
Aww.
I know. That's so sweet.
Uh-huh.
And he's a mama's boy. Oh, this guy loves his mama.
And these two fell in love hard. So when Nixa proposed, Dagmar literally couldn't say yes fast enough. But here's a cute little story. He actually learned Danish just so he could propose to her in her native language.
Isn't that so sweet? Because they both would have spoken French. Because I think she definitely learned French. And I believe French was what was spoken at, like, the court in Russia. So he could have gone with the language he already knew. But yeah, again, if he wanted to, he would. Ladies and gentlemen, if they wanted to, they would. After their engagement, Nixa had to accompany his mom to on a trip to France. The mother-in-law-to-be, Tsarina Marie, came to Denmark and met the whole family, and everyone's getting along great. Mom gets along with Dagmar's mom. Maria falls in love with Dagmar, too. She's like, oh my god, she's going to be the perfect daughter-in-law. Just this family, it's just everything's falling into place, and it's just picture perfect.
I love that. That's great. The in-laws get along. That is an important thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And Nicholas's mom, Maria, she loved Dagmar. So,
yay.
Yeah. We have a happy family and a happy marriage. We don't get to see this that often, guys.
I know. When Nixa had to leave with his mom, he assures Dagmar, he's like, as soon as our trip is over, like as soon as we finish this trip through Europe, we're going to start planning the wedding. I can't wait to be married to you. And so while he's gone, she starts learning Russian and she starts working on converting over to her religion, to Orthodoxy. As she's learning more about Russian poetry, Russian history, she just starts falling in love with the country.
I love it. And while they're apart, they basically write each other every single day.
Yeah.
These love letters they write each other are just so fucking sweet. Maybe a little too sweet. You get a toothache.
Yes. It's young love and they just can't stand to be apart. And it's very sweet, but it's very sweet. Okay. Calm down. But her fiance wasn't the only person she was writing. I think this is kind of interesting. So there was some turmoil going on at home in Denmark that we won't get to too much. But what you need to know is that her dad was also, he was king of Denmark, but then he was also the duke of these other lands that like sat on the border of Denmark and Germany.
Well, some of these lands, Schleswig-Holstein, nailed it.
It
was right on the border of Denmark and Prussia, so aka modern Germany.
Yeah.
And Dagmar wrote to Nix's dad, the Russian Tsar Alexander II of Russia, who she has never met, and is asking him to intervene on Denmark's behalf.
That takes some big titty energy to be to be a teenager and you're writing a guy that you've never met to be like, hey, help us out here. Because, I mean, Russia's army was giant, so it probably would have helped, but yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, her father-in-law he left her on red, basically.
Yeah.
And did not send any help, But honestly, it was a bit of a stretch anyway. There really wasn't any reason for the King of Russia to get involved in this messy dispute. But yeah. I think that her standing up and taking it upon herself to even ask that says a lot about her as a person.
I agree. So Denmark ended up losing those lands, and it made her dad pretty unpopular for the first half of his reign. But more importantly to our story, it made Dagmar fucking hate Germans for the rest of her life. She was so prejudiced against Germans, which is, prejudice is never cool, but she was just like, no, we are not talking to them if they're German for the rest of her life.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Unfortunately, let's switch gears a little bit and get to a part of the story that's kind of a bummer. Years and years ago, Nixa had done something to really, really fuck up his back. Maybe he fell off a horse. Maybe he was in a wrestling match gone wrong. It's really unclear. We just don't know. But what is clear is that his back has always been this source of pain for him.
Yeah, like Dagmar told somebody about how a couple of times when they'd be like horseback riding together in Denmark, he kept being like, we have to slow down. This is really killing my back. And he's young. Mm-hmm. So it was a cause for concern for sure.
Yeah.
So one day Dagmar realizes that she hasn't gotten a letter from him in a minute, and they were writing each other like every day. So she is like, what is going on? And she writes him a letter, and like, it's a total joke where she's like, have you fallen in love with somebody else? Have you fallen in love with an Italian beauty over there? I haven't heard from you. And that's when Nixa's mom realizes that she needs to break some pretty bad news to Dagmar.
Yeah, so they believe that Nixa had something called cerebrospinal meningitis, which sounds super serious because it is super serious.
Because it is super serious. It's not a good time.
Yeah, it became pretty clear pretty quick that he was dying.
Yeah. The Russian Tsar wrote to Dagmar and said, Nixa's getting his last rites tonight. They were in Nice, France. He was like, me and my son are heading to Nice right now to see him before he passes. Hopefully we get there in time. If you can come, please do. Can you imagine? Ugh. Like, you had no idea that this was going on, and now you're like just worried that he's not writing to you because he's fallen in love with somebody else, but he's dying.
Oh gosh. Oh,
I know.
And as you can imagine, Dagmar was devastated. So she and her mom hightail it out of Copenhagen and meet up with the Tsar and his younger son, Alexander, in Germany. So they board a train together to Nice, and probably not the first time meeting she had in mind for the Tsar.
Yeah.
Going to see her dying husband.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though, given the situation being shitty, the Tsar was still really impressed with Dagmar. He was like, obviously her dedication, I can't question that. Obvious. Mm-hmm. And then just everything about her, just like her manners and everything. And he learned, she like tells him, oh, I've been studying about Russia. And he's really impressed in her dedication and studying and how ready she was to convert to the religion and everything. And he's like, damn, this girl is fucking cool. I'm sure he was bummed that his son was dying for lots of reasons. But one of them, I'm not going to have this chick as my daughter-in-law. Damn.
I hate it here.
I know.
It's so sad that this is happening to her.
I know.
But fortunately, Dagmar does arrive in time to see Nixa before he passes away. So that's at least happy. In fact, when he saw that Dagmar and his dad had arrived, he got this boost of energy. And for a day, everyone was like, oh my gosh, maybe we're witnessing a miracle.
Yeah. No.
No. No.
Womp, womp, womp. But sadly, yeah, that was false hope. I hate it. And a few days later, Dagmar's woken up in the middle of the night, and he had taken a dramatic nosedive, and they were like, he's dying right now. You need to get up out of bed. And a few hours later, the Tsarevich Nicholas passed away. His mother, father, brother, and Dagmar were all by his side.
And on his deathbed, he took his brother's hand and said to him, I want you to promise me you'll marry Dagmar. I also read that he thought Dagmar was standing right there next to him and reached for her hand to get her to promise too, but he was probably hallucinating just a little bit.
Yeah, and so of course his brother is like, yeah, whatever, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. I mean, you're not going to say to your dying brother if his like last words would be like, marry Dagmar. He's not exactly going to be like, eh.
I'll think about it.
kind of putting me on the spot there, babe. So it's like, yes, of course I will.
Yeah, okay. So why was this so important to Nyxa, right? The alliance wasn't that crucial for Russia or Denmark. So, I mean, it was good, but not like make it or break it for either country.
Well, because like we talked about in our Catherine of Aragon episodes, where she was married to one brother and then he died. The alliance between England and Spain was important, especially to the English. They needed that Spanish money, you know? So I get in that case why it was so important to keep the princess in the family. But yeah, the only thing that I could find is that Nicholas may have thought that he was ruining Dagmar's happiness. And he thought that this could make her happy. It doesn't really make any sense to me, but when you're dying, maybe you're not thinking super clearly. In his mind, though, it was super, super important that his brother marry Dagmar.
Either way, Nyxa has passed away, and our poor baby girl is devastated. So devastated that in her grief, she refused to leave the body. The Tsar had to physically drag her away from his body.
Ooh. I can just feel the grief radiating through time. Oh, I hate that for her. That is so sad. Mm-hmm. I hate it here. I'm going to go top off my drink because that was a lot. So
I agree. We'll catch you back here in a second.
Yes, we'll be right back.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
Hello, everyone. Stakuyi here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
All right. After Nyxa passes away in France, Dagmar goes back to Denmark to grieve for a year. I feel like we've talked a lot on this show about like when someone dies and it's just like a formality to be in mourning and wear black. And no, this was real grief. She was actually mourning horribly. And, like, to the point where her family was worried about her health.
Her sister ends up coming over from England to spend time with her. Her sister had just given birth, and Queen Victoria was like, you're not going to travel. To which Alexandra said, fuck you, Vicky, and jumped on the next boat to Copenhagen. That's some big clit energy right there,
That is
too.
Some big clit, yeah, to tell Queen Victoria to suck it. Absolutely. But, that does seem like it lifted her spirits some. But things were really rough for a while. However, the whole time that she's grieving, Nyxa's mom, the Tsarina, is still writing to her. I think it was therapeutic for both of them, you know? And they were really bonding over this shared grief. And they established a really wonderful relationship. And after about a year, the Tsarina Maria starts floating the idea of like, well, we do have that other son. I would still love to have you as a daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on paper, it makes sense. She already loves his parents. She's already literally converting to Russian Orthodoxy. But could she actually love her former husband's brother? Could she? That's a big question.
Yeah, and she's only met him. The only time they've interacted is watching someone that they both love die. So she doesn't really know him. So let's meet the new possible hubby-to-be. Because these brothers were wildly different.
Mm-hmm. His name is Alexander, but everyone calls him Sasha.
Sasha Fierce.
Sasha Fierce. So
yes.
Nixa had been more refined in his interests. He liked literature, poetry, polite society. Yes. Yeah. Sasha Fierce likes camping, building things with his hands, and hates doing society events.
Nixa, you can look at pictures of them in their family photos. Nixa was like a little bit more frail, a little bit more like smaller in his build. And Sasha Fierce is a big Russian bear man. He gives me Ron Swanson so much. He was so strong that if he would get mad at dinner parties, if he got mad, he would take the silverware and twist it up into pretzels just to remind people how strong he was.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't fuck with me. Look what I can do to this fork.
Yeah. Don't fork with me.
Don't fork with me. So, like a pretzel.
Sasha Fierce was not into reading poetry, talking Mm-mm. philosophy. That was not his jam. He loved music, liked to play the tuba, which not particularly the most refined instrument in the world.
What we need to know is that Sasha Fierce had loved his brother. They were very, very close. Sasha had a girlfriend who was not like royal enough to be a suitable wife for him, for somebody mm-hmm. in the line of succession. Before Nixa died, Sasha had actually planned on renouncing his rights to the line of succession to marry this commoner.
Wow. And
yeah, but when he became the Tsarevich, he either changed his mind or his parents may have actually like had the girlfriend exiled. It's unclear.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dagmar was not so sure about an engagement to her dead fiance's brother. She hardly spoke two words to him when they were together. And he was so different, like physically, mentally, than what Nixa was like. She's like, I don't really know about this guy.
Yeah. But the Tsarina is like, look, let me send him over. Why don't you just get to meet him? Will you at least give him a chance to see? No one's going to force you to marry him if you're just like super, super not into it. No one's going to force your hand. But hey, why don't you just get to know him before you make up your mind?
Mm-hmm. And Dagmar agrees. In the spring of 1866, Tsarevich Alexander, a.k.a. Sasha Fierce, arrives in Copenhagen. So Dagmar is 19 and Sasha is 21. So yay, not a horrible age gap at all.
Not a horrible age gap at all. So look, we have no idea how their first meeting went. Unlike when Nixa came to Copenhagen, there isn't really anyone like documenting what the chemistry was like. Because this is it's still kind of a more of a somber affair.
Mm-hmm.
And the vibe that I got, though, is that it was a slow burn. Like, they didn't have that immediate chemistry. But after a while, when they got to know each other, they did start growing on each other.
So the story goes that one day they're looking at photos together and they come upon some photos of Nixa, and Dagmar just breaks down and starts crying. And she's just basically like, God damn it, I just loved him so fucking much.
I know. And then Sasha starts crying and he's just like, I loved him so fucking much too. This sucks. And they just have a good cry session. Finally, he's just like, look, we know why I'm here. Do you think you could love me the way you loved my brother? And she's just looking at this big Russian bear man who is just bawling like a baby to her. And I think it makes her realize, oh, maybe he is sensitive. Maybe he is more like Nixa than I realized. Mm. And she's like, I think I could love you.
And soon after that, they announced their marriage. And it seems like they actually started to fall in love after that. And not just because everybody expected them to, they really fell in love, which is so nice and refreshing.
Which is so nice. I do wonder if it's like a bit of a trauma bonding
thing. Yeah, for sure. Like, it's gotta be.
Yeah. But soon after, our girl heads to St. Petersburg for the marriage, and she is immediately popular once she hits Russian soil. I thought this was interesting. So everybody traveled to England for her sister's wedding. Her parents couldn't afford to go to Russia and send the whole family to Russia, so they just sent her brother with her. That was her only family member that came. I wonder why. Like, I wonder if... is England just like a whole lot closer? I thought that was weird. It was like they couldn't afford it. And I was like, I bet if they asked, the Russian family would have paid for them to come over.
Yeah, I bet if they would have asked. But yeah, the trip is much quicker. Denmark is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the UK.
England.
Yeah, as opposed to Russia, which would be fucking far.
Yeah, and I bet you'd have to do a boat from Copenhagen to mainland, and then the rest of it would probably have to be by land.
Uh-huh.
And I bet that takes a lot longer too. Anyway, they couldn't afford it, so just her and her brother went. But yeah, she arrives in Russia, super, super popular. And if you've never listened to any of our episodes in Russia before, what you need to know is that Russian nobility at the time, their vibe is gaudy as hell.
Uh-huh.
Everything is gold. Everything is dripping in jewels, eleganza. Like, everything is big, and I love gold, and I love fancy. But, yeah, sometimes when you look at, like, the decor at the time for the rich people, it's like, well, that is a bit much. I bet Trump would have loved it with his gold toilets, you know,
yes,
type thing.
Yes. I mean, it's everything from the diamonds to the palaces to the carriages to the ball gowns. Everything is much bigger than it needed to be. It's just extravagance from the get-go, and Dagmar is into it.
Yes, she is. Like, she leans in to the gaudy. And I think on Patreon, in an old Patreon episode, we talk about, like, how she has, like, some of the largest jewels ever. She is like, I am here for it. So, on November 9th, 1866, they are officially married, and she is now in line to be the next Tsarina of Russia. And everything was good and chill forever. Don't Google it.
Okay, that's a good place to leave her for now, but we'll catch you back up in 2 weeks with the rest of her story.
Yes. Cheers, bitches.
Charles.
Okay, let's do...